Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. It is a delight to have you join us. It's always a delight, and I'm grateful for this time on KFIA to talk with you about ancient future things. My guest today, back in the studios once again, is Brenda Zamorano. And Brenda, it occurred to me as I was driving over here to the studio for us to record this that maybe there's not anything especially ancient future about the things we've been talking about. But in one way, I suppose there is, because Christians have been dealing with these topics that we've had so much fun talking about really since the beginning. Yes?
It's so important for us to all recognize that that ancient future component has to do with what we inherited in the very beginning in a garden.
And that really is ancient,
that's
isn't it?
Really, really ancient. And here we are in 2021 wanting to learn more how to navigate even this upcoming year.
Well, yeah, or the remainder of this one for us to get,
okay,
to get
through it in one piece. That's true. We have a few weeks left.
Folks, yes. Brenda Zamorano is my friend and colleague, and she's a wonderful biblical prayer counselor. We're going to talk hopefully a little bit about that here in just a second. But Brenda, we've done several of these programs now where we've taken really important issues. And once again, I keep hearing stories from folks who are really being blessed. We've talked about fear and worry, and it's been just a delightful time. Brenda, tell us just a tiny bit again, in case folks haven't listened to some of those other podcasts, about you and your practice and what all that is about.
Well, it's a great question. What is biblical prayer counseling? It is us, the counselor, taking the Word of God through the ministry of Holy Spirit and the power that's always present in prayer to go after the brokenhearted, stuck places of the human heart. So we have this privilege of learning when someone comes in to see us, they have relational pain. And that relational pain is connected to where relationships in their families has not gone well. So we have the privilege of working with them. They see so much insight and healing happen, and then they're able to walk out life with their spouse, with their families, with a compassion and a mercy that they didn't have before.
Well, I can just say once again how you have blessed me. Folks, I myself have had some wonderful sessions with Brenda at Hope in Life Ministries in Folsom. And Brenda, the work you do is just so important. I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
We're talking today, Brenda, about striving. That's a big topic, isn't it? I guess we ought to start with, what in the world is striving?
Yes, it is a heavy topic. The word means to make great effort, to struggle, to try very hard. And what is important about striving is it produces anxiety.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, in some ways, putting a lot of effort in or even struggling sometimes are good things, but I have a feeling that you're going to tell us that striving isn't so good. And one of the reasons you just said right there is it produces anxiety.
We know the story where Jesus goes to a village and he stays at a wealthy woman's house. Her name is Martha. And we read in Luke chapter 10 that Martha is troubled and bothered by a whole lot. And she gets after Jesus. Don't you care that my sister's not helping me? And so what we see there is that Jesus actually honors Mary, who's sitting there, because Mary sits by Jesus hanging on every word that he says.
Yeah, it's not exactly like she's doing nothing, right?
That's right.
But there is the sister who's scurrying about. I see her in my mind's eye, scurrying about like a whirling dervish, and plates and dishes are flying, and she's trying to clean and all of this at the same time. And so you're saying that that is maybe an example of striving. How so?
See, part of what striving does to the soul is it makes us hurry. It's called hurry sickness, where we're trying to get so much done that we don't live focused, intentional lives. So we've got all these thoughts racing through our mind, and then we don't end up accomplishing hardly anything.
Oh, that's so true. Is this sort of similar to a phrase that I've heard before, the tyranny of the urgent?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're always just zinging around with just whatever pops up. It's like whack-a-mole. One little game thing pops up and you have to hit it in the next. And in the end, you look and you go, I'm worn out, A, and B, I haven't done anything worthwhile.
Well, and I think part of what is so irritating about striving is that a person that strives is not a lazy person.
No.
They're industrious. They're hard workers. They're very intentional, but they can be very, very angry and frustrated because they give out their best and it's not enough.
And also anxious people. Let's unpack some of those things after I remind folks that they're listening to a radio ministry program called Ancient Future Faith. I'm the host, Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento. As always, I love you to zip over to our website. That's epiclesis.org, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. And learn more about who we are. And best of all, come join us some Sunday morning for some marvelous worship at 10:30. My guest today, once again, is my friend and colleague, Brenda Zamorano. We're talking today about striving, which is, it turns out, not a good thing.
No.
And striving is not something that lazy people do. These are hardworking people, but there are some, I guess you could say, bad results or fruit that come out of that. Yes?
Yes. So what I want to call our attention to is Psalm 46, verse 8 says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." And as I did some study on that root word, cease striving, it actually says, quit fighting me.
Oh, wow.
And learn that I am God.
Is this, the other translation may render it, be still?
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
And sorry, say that again. That's really good. It's more about, hey, God is saying, in effect, stop fighting with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
That's such an insight. Stop fighting me and know me. Be still. Because for all of us, I think this time of year, Christmas time, there's so much agitation goes on in the soul, which produces that striving, which the anxiety level goes up, peace goes way down.
For sure.
And so what I'm appealing to everyone on is the antidote. We keep talking about antidotes, that the antidote to striving is slowing down and knowing God.
A minute ago, you said that striving results in, I know one of them was anxiety, but you mentioned some other things as well.
I did.
Why does striving result in those things?
Striving can take me into strife.
Oh.
Because it's my aggressive attempt to try and figure out solutions apart from God's spirit.
Oh, well, ding, 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 ding. That's that's a good, you got to say that one again. And that really is one of the important things about this, right? Because at the end, we're maybe trying to figure all this stuff out on our own. Would you just repeat that again? That's so good.
Yes. Striving leads me to strife.
Yeah.
And strife is my aggressive attempt to figure out solutions apart from God's spirit.
Yeah. Wow. That's such a good word. You know, one other thing that just occurred to me, and this is a little story from my being a mentor to somebody who was in ministry some years ago. It isn't necessarily so that someone who is striving is doing something physical, right? Could not also a striving person be thinking, or this striving thing happens in the psyche or the mind?
In the mind.
Yeah. I was talking to a young man who was in ministry. He was really in a hard place. And he asked me to come and talk with him and try to help him work through something. And Brenda, he was talking 1,000 miles an hour. And it was like jumping from one quick topic to another. And there were even places where he would stop mid-sentence and start another one. And I finally, I don't have the training you do, but something intuitively, I'm sure it was God's Holy Spirit, had me just, I just laid my hands on his shoulders and I said, stop, stop, hush. And it was at that point that we finally were able to pick apart some of these things. Am I on the right track about that, about striving also being in the mind?
Absolutely. Many times in a counseling session, when there's many words, I'll say, could we just hit the pause button? Let's just stop. Let's just get quiet.
I'm giggling because I think you said that to me one time.
Because we have many words when the heart is upset, but we get quiet, and then I'll say something like, now I want to check in. What are you feeling right now? And it's so beautiful how Holy Spirit, see, he is always with us, but when we keep running in our minds, I've studied the average person has 50, 60,000 thoughts a day.
Wow.
They just race through our minds, some unconscious, some conscious. The whole point of what God says is your transformation, your slowing down is connected to you taking your mind, taking one thought at a time. Okay, Jesus, I need you right now. I need to quiet my mind.
Yeah. You know, the thing that breaks my heart as a pastor is that there is so much in our culture around us, and it's just got to be the work of the enemy as far as I'm concerned. There's so much in our culture around us that says more, 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 loud, higher, faster, louder, and we have this stuff and these things and all these responsibilities swirling around us to make it even harder to be still, slow down, much less if we are one of these people who is a striver.
So Hebrews chapter 4 to me speaks to us all today, because Hebrews 4 talks about a rest.
Oh, I'm getting excited.
It's,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
It's called a Sabbath rest. Oh. And it was the intention of God the Father to lead the Hebrews on a 12-day journey into a promised land. And we know what was supposed to be 12 days took 40 years.
Yeah.
Because what Hebrews says of their doubt and unbelief.
Okay.
So
all right.
Our appeal here is today is we all are in need of getting our minds slowed down. So that doubt and unbelief, God doesn't shame us in that.
No.
He invites us to bring it to him. He loves to take it. He's not accusing us. So that we can have that Hebrews 4 confidence before God and then before ourselves. God's got this. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever's causing all the strife and all the striving, because this time of year, many families have an upset and are struggling, I just release the peace and presence of Holy Spirit over that circumstance and situation. God wants you to give it to him.
And take a breath and be still. Cease striving and
know that I am God.
I often say at church, God, you are our God, and we aren't. And that really may be also at the root of striving, because we're trying to figure this stuff out on our own.
You know, I just so sense his presence right now, even, because the Lord Jesus has already gone ahead of you.
Yeah.
And he's done everything for you, no matter what's going on. And he wants to be your burden bearer. He wants to take all the heaviness and all those overwhelmed thoughts and feelings, and he wants to give you his peace and his rest. And what a time of year for us to make that our focus.
Mm-hmm. You know, the word know, and I'm sure you know this in Scripture, means so much more than just an understanding in your noggin, right? It's a deep, intimate.
Intimate. It's an intimate word.
Deep, deep knowing. And beloved, God wants you to stop. Hush. Stop it. Take a breath. Know that I am God is what he's saying.
Yes.
Folks, you're listening to a conversation with Brenda Zamorano. She is a biblical prayer counselor. I'm proud to say she's also my friend. We've been doing several of these conversations. You can find the previous ones at epiclesis.org. Look under podcasts, resources. Brenda, in our remaining moments, it occurred to me that we might want to do something that we have done sort of intuitively, I think, over the last couple of times, and that is maybe just walk people through a little checklist. There they are right now. They're at home, or they're in their car, or they're listening at work, or maybe a podcast at their own convenience, and they're thinking, I might be one of those strivers. Let's speak to that, okay? What are some of the indications that somebody might be striving and they need to hush for a minute and slow down and stop and be still and cease striving?
Well, a big indicator is irritation.
Oh.
Just get in your car and start driving. Oh, you'll find out real quick if striving and strife is a part of life. I'd say also that it's a lot of mental confusion. We tend to get defensive. And what is so beautiful about the Word of God is Holy Spirit invites us to a lifestyle of surrender.
Yeah, you know, I just thought of an example. When I'm in kind of a striving mode, I tend to assume that I know what the person's going to say, so I'll just cut them off in the middle of the sentence, and I'll complete the sentence for them. Anybody out there do that? You just don't want to waste the time on what they're going to say because you already know that. Let's get to the punchline and go on. And you've just said that's not the lifestyle of a peaceable person or a Christian, and that might be an indicator of strife, yeah, and striving.
Well, certainly Jesus is my role model. And Jesus did not live that way.
No.
Jesus knew that just about everyone around him was trying to trap him. But he lived a lifestyle of absolute trust and peace.
And surrender, as you said a minute ago.
Absolutely.
Okay, so there's a couple of things. There's being irritable, cutting people off, but cutting people off mid-sentence, right? Scurrying around. What are some other indicators that I might be a striver?
Arguing. Arguing and defensiveness. And defensiveness is I've got a wall up, and it's my opinion. It's my speculation or my vain imagination is how something is. And when I live, Paul says that in 2 Corinthians. Paul says my hardest work is learning how to take every thought, every opinion, every speculation, and make it be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And if we're scurrying around like the protons surrounding, I just got this picture of protons surrounding an atom nucleus, right? Just, you know, such energy and such motion. If we're scurrying around like that, then we can't take thoughts captive. In fact, they've taken us captive.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like a pinball machine,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Bing, 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 bing. And we feel out of control, overwhelmed. That's another indicator.
Okay.
Striving.
All right.
I feel overwhelmed. I can't think straight.
So if you're out there listening, so many of these things convicted me today, which is a good thing, Brenda Zamorano. If you're out there listening and, okay, you're going, yeah, no, I can be argumentative. Yes. Oh, I cut people off mid-sentence. I'm scurrying around all the time. What were some of the other ones, Brenda?
Defensiveness.
Defensive.
Always in a hurry. See, because Jesus would want us to live a lifestyle a day at a time, one day at a time. See, striving, I'm not living in the present moment. I'm living in some form of the future. I got to get this done so I can get to that.
Yeah. And maybe that's how you're feeling out there, or maybe even just kind of vague anxiousness or vague anger. Brenda, let's just stop and I'm going to ask you to do it. Let's say a prayer that folks can, right where they are, just pray along with us and be blessed by your prayer for them, that they could recognize this and get to the place where they could stop striving and be still and know that He is God. You want to do that?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'd love to do that. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're with us right now. And we surrender all the worry, all the care, all that we can't control, all the noise, all that feels out of control. We bring it all to you. And Jesus, we're asking you to release a supernatural peace that anyone that hears this will be able to make an exchange, and their soul comes into the peace of knowing that God is with you. You are not alone. You're not on your own. And we bless you with that peace that goes beyond understanding to fill up your mind, your emotions, your soul with supernatural grace and a quiet confidence. God is with you.
Amen. Christian friend, we got to stop striving. We got to be peaceable people who take enough time to take thoughts captive and let the Lord be the Lord over all of those thoughts, and to know that peace, that intimate knowing. You know, Brenda, it occurs to me that this business of intimate knowing is so important, and so many people are struggling right now, even with knowing themselves. And I think from the Christian perspective, it's so important not only to know ourselves, and maybe more accurately, as God knows us, right? To think about ourselves in the way that God does, but also to have that intimate relationship with God. I think it begins, and this is the ancient future part of things again, I guess, with getting back into touch with our ancient Christian spirituality and seeing what those amazing saints who came before us have to say about intimate knowing. Folks, if you're interested in that kind of excursion, that kind of journey, I wished you'd come to Epiclesis, where we're on that journey together of intimately knowing God. Brenda Zamorano, I just love you to bits, and I'm just so glad. Have you had anybody say that to you today?
No, I haven't.
And I'm just so glad you've taken the time to be with us again here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's my honor. I pray for this audience, whomever it is, that this will make a difference.
Well, I know that it will. Folks, until we gather for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this, would you? Surely the road to our Christian future has to run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hey folks, Pastor Chris here with one more quick word. One of the most special parts of the whole Christian year is when the new year comes along at Advent, the time where we celebrate not only Christ's first coming as a baby, but when we also anticipate his second future coming as a conquering king. I'm hoping you'll join us for worship in Advent on Sunday mornings in December at 10:30. Find all the information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's EPICLESIS.org. The Lord be with you.